This Much We Know is a podcast offering an honest and informative perspective of the realities and motivations of setting up a social enterprise. We'll be joined by guest social entrepreneurs and charity leaders whose trading models work to end homelessness. We'll be sharing their stories, tips, and of course, their facepalm moments.
Homeless Link is the national membership charity for organisations working directly with people who become homeless in England. We work to make services better and campaign for policy change that will help end homelessness. Homeless Link members get access to benefits that support you to build and develop your organisation and ensure your voice and experience is heard at a national, regional and local level. To find out more about Homeless Link membership for your organisation, visit homeless.org.uk/join.
Welcome to another episode of This Much We Know. Today we're joined by Jordan from Crescent Cleaning. Jordan, we're going to get you to do your own introduction, even though we know you quite well.
Okay, so my name's Jordan Cantor. I'm employed by ARC, who are a homeless charitable organisation in Somerset. And I was employed coming up to 2.5 years ago to design, build, and then run a social enterprise employing clients who have since moved on from ARC.
So yeah, ARC, the charity, what do you do? Talk us about what happens there.
Yeah, so ARC are a charitable homeless organisation. So they have a hostel and they have 16, it's probably easy to describe them as houses of multiple occupancy. But they then have each house as a support worker with them attached to them as well. So those people living in those properties get that extra support. It's a journey ARC provides. And that journey is trying to get them back into their own accommodation. And so the most chaotic or the people who are most vulnerable will live at our hostel. And that's manned 24 hours a day. So they get the most support there. And then as they get their three meals a day and everything's sort of looked after for them. We also at the hostel have what's called our Reach Centre, where we have other companies and other support agencies come so we can provide free counselling. We have our own doctor's surgery, so once a week, the residents don't have to travel elsewhere. They can actually go to our own doctor's surgery. So during COVID, we were able to do all our own COVID jabs for all the employees and for all clients as well. Then we've got the 16 Pathways houses, which, as the name suggests, is where we then help them move on that next step. And while they're in those Pathway houses, the support worker helps them with getting gold banded. And their home search is making sure their benefits are up to, you know, everything that they need. And then when they are ready to make that next step, we then support them into their new accommodation. So we will provide first month's rent and deposit for them. And we've got funding that we can provide white goods for them. And we have links with another charitable organisation in Taunton called Furniture Trust, where they can then also, they have a set allowance where they can go and they can choose furniture for the new house, because otherwise, you're just setting them up to fail. You know, they move out of a shared accommodation into an empty box, and they haven't got anything. So by making sure we cover off as much as possible in that way, and then that's where then Crescent Cleaning Services came in, or that's why the idea of Crescent Cleaning Services came in again, because there's that other drop off. You know, ARC does this amazing work and helps people, and they put a load of effort in themselves. And then they get into their own property. Oh, what do I do now? You know, and so you can have people then can very easily fall back into the coping mechanisms and strategies that they had before. And yeah, trying to then provide that extra bit of support.
And why cleaning in particular? Is there a story there?
I think it's a nice leveler. Whatever you've done in life, whatever your skills are, if you haven't worked at all, if you've got some impairments, or if you need that extra level of support that someone else needs, cleaning is that nice leveler. There was also, for us, the ability that where ARC paid for the cleaning of the hostel and of the 16 Pathways houses, we also had that opportunity where we had a safe area where we could take on new business. And we could support people, and not that we didn't have to worry if things went wrong, but if things went wrong, there was that fail-safe, that it was within our own services, and that if what we had planned for didn't work out, there was that ability to actually, okay, we can rough this out. I mean, that didn't happen in the end, but that we could have done if we needed to. And so that was the twofold reasoning for that.
Yeah, they'd be able to test, you know, test and learn models in a safe environment. You're not setting people up to fail is a advantageous opportunity.
Yeah, and it just meant that I had the time then to build a framework, to build like a map for the clients to follow and to make sure that they knew what they were doing. But then it, the whole way through, I always say to them, communication. This is your, depending on who I'm talking with, I say this is your place to mess up is the nice way to say it. But that's what I say to them. Like, don't worry if you mess up here. It does not matter. This is where you learn. What I do care about is if you don't tell me and you keep making that same mistake multiple times. If you ring me up and say, George, I was drinking all night, I can't come into work today, really sorry, don't worry, come in tomorrow, it's all right. You know, and where we've got those three stages of employment, as they move through those stages, they have the extra levels of responsibility. But they only move up those stages when they are ready for it themselves. So it means that they've got those places to make mistakes and learn, but then when they learn, they're able to move on to a next stage and access those extra bits.
How does the model work? Because I think we've got people that will be listening to this going, cleaning, that's easy, anyone can do cleaning. How does the business side of stuff work? So we've looked a lot about how it supports people, but how does the income side of it work?
Well, I get teased that I can't clean very well, but nor because I'm in a tight fit of jeans, that's probably the reason why. Yeah, so like I said, I've got the stages of employment, and that's there to support the people coming through. But then it also means that I then have an ability to sort of take on extra work. So we were really fortunate again. So we arc houses roughly 140 to 150 people any given night with its hostel and its supported houses as well. And so we were then able to take on the Pathways houses first. And we did that for 6 months. And then once we were at a level, we then took on the hostel. So the houses are nice and easy because they only have to be cleaned once a week, because we're trying to teach people that it's their property that they live in, that they look after it themselves, and we just come in once a week and we do the communal areas. The hostel's a different beast altogether because you've got over 40 people living in a massive building, so that gets cleaned Monday to Friday every day for a few hours, and so that's was a bigger beast to take on. But it meant that we were very fortunate. Unlike a lot of social enterprises, we were very fortunate that we had a revenue stream built in, ready to go. But we only took that on as we had the employees. And then as those first employees moved up the stages and became became employed with us and then became contracted with us, then we were then taking on the next part of the employees, we were then able to take on that extra work. So along the way, we've also have taken on funding because we've needed to, because we're always behind in those first few years. We were always going to be behind, and that's what I've always said. I didn't expect us to start turning a profit until year 3, which we're going to be on course for quite happily. But yeah, so we needed to make sure we subsidize that with funding at the same time. So, and we've had a really nice mixture of funding along the way as well.
Brilliant.
Jordan, for anyone listening, as part of our enterprise development program, who the journey's kind of been, you know, we've all seen it from an idea to now, so it's really exciting. We're very personally invested as well. On the impact side of it, so understand the sort of revenue model, any more insights to that if you want to share, also really useful in terms of challenges and, you know, profit margins and thinking about how it works, you know, with competitors. Is there any, I don't know, particular learnings that you found when thinking about the feasibility and then how it's going to work as a business?
Yeah, I think we were too cautious. I think we could have started sooner. And now I think that was a mixture of lots of things, but it came from a good place in knowing that we couldn't fail the people that we were wanting to support. And so we wanted to make sure we got it right, and that when it came to employing our first group of employees, that we didn't fail them and we didn't go 6 weeks in, sorry, this has been an absolute nightmare, we're gonna have to pause it for a few weeks and sort things out and then start again. We didn't want that to happen, so it came from a good place. But yeah, I think that was one of the main learnings was, okay, a little bit cautious here, but like I said, that came from wanting to do the right thing by them, and wanting to also make sure that we were providing a proper service to ARC. So from the funding from Homeless Link, which was brilliant. Actually, Murphy was one of the first people I met. I think it was my first day I had an online meeting with other social enterprises. So it was really nice. So it was in the middle of COVID, so I wasn't seeing anyone. I was in the office on my first day with one other person in the four-story building. And then I was able to join a Teams call with Murphy and about 10 other social enterprises. So it was really nice. Being in a organization, you've got teams and you've got everyone working those teams together. And then you are building a mini version of that charity all by yourself. And so although you're part of that charitable organization, you're very isolated. So having a group of people that I could talk to, that I could speak to if I needed to, was brilliant. And, you know, created relationships and friends that, you know, we're still in contact with, even personally outside of our social enterprise world as well. And I know you've had Michelle on recently. You know, those relationships and those friendships that you build are massive, because when you're really struggling, you can have a moan to someone because they understand what you're going through. But I think that was that was the main learning for us.
How hard was it? Because I think a lot of people listening are thinking we could do something like this. Yeah, how hard was it to achieve? Would you? I guess the acid test being, would you do it again?
Yes, yes. It was horrendously hard, and lots of hard work went into it. I think whenever I talk about Crescent Cleaning Services, it's always the people. It's the people we employ, it's the people we support. And what some of them have been through and what some of them are still going through, there's so much probably pressure. You know, we have built this place, this framework that people can have success in. And you know, it's been hard work, but it's brilliant because it means when they achieve something, they've achieved it themselves. I've just got this place where they can do it in. And so when they achieve something, they can take the praise themselves. So often we've got things where people are pushed into a project and people are pushed into this and people are helped through it, and then they get a certificate, and it doesn't mean anything to them because they haven't really done anything. So with the space that CCS provides, it means when they achieve something, they have done it themselves. And then when you give them the praise for that, or if you give... I texted one of my employees on the way up, and he doesn't mind me talking about him, about his situation. And he's had an amazing journey from... He came to ARC after attempting to take his own life. And so from after a relationship breakdown and after hospital, came into ARC services. And actually, when Simon, he was one of the first people you spoke to when you did your group discussions.
Yeah.
And at that point, he was so nervous, could hardly talk really. His main worry was that he didn't want to be in the van or with anyone else apart from me, because he was too scared to do that. And from that point, he now works 3 days 1 week, 5 days the next week. He drives the van and leads the team when everyone else might not be in. And he has been through horrendous things in his life the last 6 months, and he's battled them and he's got through them. One of the questions you sent through to me was about sort of success. I'm jumping forward a little bit. And that's why I texted Simon to say, mate, I'll just go through these questions. And one of the questions is about success. And I wanted to let you know, actually, you know, you're that. You know, think about everything you've done, everything you've been through. And then me saying that to him, he can then reflect on that. But it's nothing I've done. It's everything he's done. It's just the space that he's got to be able to do it in. And that's the brilliant thing for it, that people then have that to be able to grow in.
I do feel like there's a sense of sort of charities holding by hand, and this isn't to discredit charities. I think they're absolutely crucial, and unfortunately so. But I think social enterprise kind of fill the secondary gap, which is around supporting people to contribute again, to be part of something sort of, you know, really valuable in sort of earning it as well, as opposed to being given support, you know. They're part of it.
Completely. I think, again, another reason why I'm very fortunate in my position is the fact that I had not only a ready-made source of revenue, but I also had a source of employees as well. But they only were able to, you know, I was fortunate as well because the hard work that support workers put in at ARC means that when someone is ready to move out, they've already been told about me the whole time. They've already been told about CCS the whole time. And it's not a big scary thing. And when they get to the point of being able to move out, they're already at that point because of the hard work that the support workers and them have put in again. So it's finishing off, carrying on that journey. You said about social enterprises filling in that other gap, and it is that, you know, charity, ARC as a charity, fills in this gap of people have know-how, nowhere to live, to they have their own place to live. But then there's another drop-off. Yeah. And so then it's then a social enterprise comes in and is able to fill that spot that gives people employment, gives people the chance to, I need the, you know, so James and Simon who are, so I've got three stages of employment. I've got to go back to that, which is voluntary, stage one. Stage two is a 0 hours, but that's more for them because they might be coping with different, you know, traumas or chaotic lifestyles, that it means that if they don't turn up to work for a couple of weeks or they have a bad day, that we can look after that. And so we can focus on why it's happened, make sure it does, try and put things in place to make sure it doesn't happen again, and focus on that and take as much of the stress and tension away from it as possible. And then the last stage is the contract stage. And what's really nice is that they are on the same contract as any ARC member of staff. They get the same amount of holiday time. They get Simply Health benefits the same as we do. So that means if they bad back or they need to go for an eye test or they, you know, they need a massage or, you know, something like that, they've got those same benefits that we've got, which is brilliant. But yeah, it just means that they're looked after the whole way.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's really nice to hear about sort of how it fits in as well. I think often charities who have social enterprises, that's somewhat confusing in terms of how it all fits together, particularly the support and provision.
And the employment side of the stuff that a lot of charities struggle with. How do we do this? And you end up sometimes a bit of them and us.
And I think having it as a separate arm almost is a really positive thing, because it's kind of that one step forward to becoming sort of more independent, and it doesn't blur the relationship. You know, having a support worker become your employer is challenging. You know, those transition between roles and how you speak to someone in an honest way in terms of how you speak to an employer, there does have to be some level of difference and kind of a personal contract.
Yeah, and that was one of the key things that sort of I wanted to make sure was in place. So there's a really clear differentiation for them being a client and to them being an employee. So they get, you know, that all the staff members get told about the person becoming an employee. They will do the pared down but very similar induction that any member of ARC staff would have. So they have to go through the rigmarole of all the policy documents, of the set training that they have to do. And we even do a pared down meet and greet as well, so that they get to meet different members of SMT. And it's lovely for them because they have that clear differentiation, but it's also brilliant for our staff because often people move out of the hostel into our Pathways houses and then move into their own properties, and then the hostel support workers might not ever see them again. So for them then to suddenly have someone that they supported a couple of years ago walking back in their CCS uniform, coming to work, not only is it lovely for my employee because he's, you know, making someone else happy, as one of them said, it's lovely to have something positive come out of everything that has happened in my life. And then it's lovely for support work as well, because they get to see the end result.
Yeah, see the impact.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I'm going to segue on to our favourite question, which you probably are expecting, which is all about the facepalm moment. Yeah, one of the things that we like to do on this podcast is celebrate learning from mistakes and being honest and open about, you know, we all make mistakes, it's human to make mistakes, and we don't learn unless mistakes are made. So what we need to do better as a sector is share them and also bring some humour to them. You know, it can be, you know, a lonely, challenging place when you're playing with so much impact and potential to affect people's lives. There needs to also be an area of going, you know, you can do what you can do, and sometimes things are going to go wrong. So what is your favorite facepalm moment
from the van failing its MOT, and then while at the garage them leaving the door open and it being knocked off by a lorry going past? So and then because it's the same time as like boats not being able to get into harbours or something, so they could see that the door was where it should be, but it just hadn't been unloaded from the dock yet. And so we didn't have a van for about a month. So that was fun. To sort of day-by-day things like where different members of staff might not turn up, and then trying to sort of that challenge of balancing, you know, making sure you get the work done. And some that was a big learning for me. It was suddenly, right, I go on about having ARC and it being a safe place for us. Hold on, let's take the pressure off. Right, let's just say, okay, we're missing a couple of houses this week because the team aren't going to get it done because they're down three members of staff a week. We've got the ability to take the foot off the gas. Let's do that. But the biggest one for me was I go on about communication and go on about making sure that our employees talk to us if they're struggling. And, you know, we're here, just make sure you communicate. And then neither myself and my supervisor were doing that with each other. So at two different points, I was up to there, and another point she was up to there, and neither of us told the other person about it. And so from then on, we were like, right, this has to stop. Even if it's just a 5-minute call where someone's annoyed you and you need to ring up and you need to vent, we need to do that. And so, you know, we do that very, very readily now. And it just means that you've got that, you know, escape valve ready to go. And it can be challenging, especially for Penny, supervisor, because she's working with people who will be at stage three, and we're sort of looking to make a team leader, all the way down to someone who's coming in to volunteer for their very first day and haven't worked for 10 years. So she's having to bounce around the whole team in the hostel on those days that we have the volunteers in, and a gamut of different people, and trying to balance that. And so that can be then really, really challenging. Gets to the end of the day and it's like, you know, so you need to have that. So that's been probably the biggest learning, actually following through on my own thing.
Did they ever find the lorry driver that knocked the van door off?
I didn't ask. Although, James, one of our employees, was so happy because he loves having the window down when they're driving, and the electric windows have stopped working on that door. So although it was like, oh, lost the door, he was so happy.
It was him driving the lorry.
Yeah,
so he probably was actually.
That was brilliant.
He's a good one. He's a good one.
No, loved him. Got three for the price of one. My favourite. I think the bit on camaraderie as well, and just having that. I think it's so common people in supportive roles to be so willing to take on the impact of other people's challenges and pain, and then forgetting that you know, there's a chain and it has to keep going round, else we all sort of,
well, I do,
you
know, think, yeah,
reach a level of burnout.
Because I do think we're all drawn to work in this sector because of traumas or life that we have had, whether we know about it or not. There's a, you know, I don't believe in all that, there's a reason for it, but there's a reason why we're drawn to these sorts of roles, because of traumas that we've been through ourselves. So they're always going to be hard emotionally at times for us, and there are going to be points where we need to have a little bit of self-care, and it's really difficult sometimes to be able to do that. I mean, I visited the local Nelson Trust in Somerset last week, and they've got a self-care room for their employees. So if they've had a really challenging afternoon, they can go upstairs and they've got Netflix and they've got sofas and they can have, take 5, 10, 20 minutes. Yeah, so it's making sure we've got that for my staff as well, because that old adage of being a battery is so true in this job, because you are having to support people who come from a variety, you know, they might have, so the people I talk about are people that we've got, their stories are out on our social media and things, so they're okay to talk about. But James, you know, was a heroin user for decades. And so for him, certain things will get to him a little bit. And for Si, who, you know, struggles with, he's got very acute depression, he's got Tourette's, and he struggles with alcohol consumption as well. Those sorts of things in different days can be different challenges for him. So, but then also for Penny and myself to support those challenges can also be tough. You know, so it's, everyone needs to look after each other.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important thing to think about. And, you know, being sort of altruistic or being in those professions has a direct link with struggling to ask for help. So that we all have to remember it. And, you know, that's why, you know, the programs like EDP and other opportunities to talk to that are so important. Because even if you just go, oh, that was a hard day, it does something. That there's this release and knowing that other people out there are going, yeah, it was a bit tough, wasn't it? You know, that's needed.
Yeah, that is probably another learning actually as well, that I used to always get told by our finance director, Sarah. She just said, stop just getting on with it. Stop. You know, you can talk to people. You know, it's brilliant that you do it, but you can talk to people.
Yeah, it's not all social enterprise. Yeah, it's not just about making income and making the whole thing stack up. It's the, yeah, how we do it is as important as the why we do it sometimes. So actually having staff, yeah, being looked after properly is really important. But we tend to overlook it. In other professions, you would never support an individual for that long without supervision of some sort. And I know in homelessness you get supervision, but do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're not quite as rigid on that in the homeless sector as maybe we should be, actually, in terms of the toll that it takes on our support staff in particular. It's a fairly, like, unrewarding, it is rewarding, but it's just a relenting task.
I think that's why it's quite nice for, like I said, for the support workers at ARC to see the people they've supported in employment, because otherwise they aren't getting that nice positive outcome. You sort of, they support them, they move their own accommodation, and they might never see, you know, never see them again. So it can be a case that they are just giving out and giving out and giving out. And so, you need to make sure that.
It's kind of covered my next question in terms of wide words of wisdom to other entrepreneurs around that kind of camaraderie and communication. So I'll move on to a different area, which is more around big decisions, thinking about strategic development. You know, what are you doing? Is there any particular questions that you have to ask yourself, you know, with social enterprise balancing financial and impact goals? Is there a question that you kind of check in on, and, you know, how do you bring it back to the values?
The people. Always the people. The whole reason the social enterprise exists and the whole reason I love my job is because of the people we're helping, you know. Someone getting that, being given that, I trust that person. I want that person to succeed. And so any decisions I make has to be about them. Like, okay, is this the right thing at the right time? If I take this contract on, yes, it gives us some more revenue, but actually am I going to put too many people under too much pressure when they're not quite ready for it? What is the best thing for the people? And that's what I've always got to keep in mind. I think if I'm going off that, then all right, I might make a mistake in terms of what we talked about earlier, where I could have moved things on a bit more quickly, but at the same time, I don't know if I had moved things on that much more quickly, would we have lost a few more people because it was too much too soon. And so if I'm being led by them in everything, then I think that's, you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that.
Thank you.
That's been brilliant. Jordan, where do people find out about Crescent Cleaning? Can we follow you?
Yeah, Crescent Cleaning Services are on social media. So Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn, along with ARC, who are based in Taunton. They also are all on all social media as well. So we've got a couple of our stories of, so we've got James and Simon currently up on our social media as well. Their full stories, and we've got a few more coming up shortly. Yeah, so it's been brilliant.
Great. Well, we'll make sure to link those stories and the connections to website and social media platforms and things as well. I'll pass on any questions from our listeners to get in touch. Yeah, you've been brilliant. Thank you for coming on and being so honest and sharing your story. And yeah, it's been, you know, Sam and I have seen it happening from the beginning, so it's great to see the full 360.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe for more episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @thismuch_weknow or email us thismuchweknow@homelesslink.org.uk.